Good morning. I'm so excited. Thank you, Pastor Jan, Pastor Cook, and all the staff. And what an honor, it's a privilege to be here. You'll probably have a lot of energy, or at least I have a lot of energy, so I'm going to give you a lot of energy. And we're going to, I feel I have a word from God for you all this morning. And just super excited to be here. I love how I call her Bera. Sarah was leading us into worship, and you know my name. Wasn't that powerful? I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, like, what, you know, if the lights are on, lights are off. There's smoke. There's, you know, if you're kids service, youth service, adult service, old service, young service, it don't matter. You can get into the presence of God anywhere you're at. I mean, if Chinese people in prison can get in the presence of God, they're being persecuted, how much more can we in the United States in a great Holy Ghost church get into the presence of God? Now, you don't necessarily have to jump or shout to be in the presence. You don't have to kneel to be in the presence. Do whatever God has called you to do to be in the presence. You know, so take that and run with it. You know, if, you know, I was going to kind of get into the message, but the Lord was kind of sharing me, if you're not too old. Abraham and Sarah were old, right? I mean, maybe some of you are a little bit older, but, you know, you're not that old, and you're not 80 plus, 90 plus, having babies and barren, and like, show me, you know, I'm the father of many nations, where's the baby? You know, I some people were joking with me, you know, I'm a hair older, but not that old. You know, we have a two-year, three-month-old baby. So Wesley, you know, we adopted him in Florida. We got him when he was 3 days old. And it's like, man, are you like Abraham? I was like, bro, come on, man, I ain't that old. I'm just trying to, you know, do my part, you know, take on. And he's a great kid. I was going to show you a couple pictures of Malachi. I don't want to take, on behalf of the Shares, Tina, John, and Autumn and I, we just really want to thank you. Malachi and Gabriel are on their flights from Lusaka, Zambia, to Addis Ababa, to Chicago, to Orlando today. And then they'll be debriefing 5 days, and then they'll be on their way home Friday night. They've been in Zambia for 2 months, been pretty amazing. I don't want to take their gusto, because they're going to probably share with you. I know, like, they did post a few things about their some of their close friends, Malachi did, about Caden, Caleb, and Zayn, and, you know, but we got one phone call and like, two emails. That's all we've got in 2 months. So, I mean, it's kind of, they've been out there. It took them 5 days to get, so you'll see Malachi on the left. The bottom left, he's doing a drama in Bemba, is the language in Zambia, and he's preaching the gospel, doing a drama. Gabe's there somewhere, I'm not sure where. You can see a little bit of Malachi and Gabriel on the left there on the top right. But John might be able to tell me more. But we've been getting a little bit of updates. The leaders sent us updates. But I just really want to encourage you that you're not too old and you're not too young to serve the King of Kings. So it doesn't matter how old. I mean, I see John Duclos is going all over, kicking butt, taking names. It doesn't matter how young you are. You know, King Josiah became king at 8 years old. And then as a teenager, maybe later on in life, he chose a few things. Well, that's most of the Bible. They did good. They did bad. They come back to the Lord Jesus. And then everything's good. And then everything's bad. And then everything's good. You're like, do you feel like that's your life sometimes? You know, so you're not too young and you're not too old. And a lot of times, you know, if you're older, and even young people don't like to change, but sometimes when you're a little bit older, change is difficult. We've lived 5 places in 9 years. It's actually 6 places in 9 years. And I've lived in over 50 places. And, you know, just traveling, serving. And many people right here, I see one of my best friends, Dan Gunn, is here. And, of course, I got a group all Boise. I got I call him Pastor Jeremy, but he's a John Maxwell trainer and coach, one of my best friends. Of course, family, but there's many people right here, including, and I'm going to probably get around a little bit before I get moving, but Pastor Jan and this church and these leaders and staff, they're phenomenal. You know, if it wasn't for someone when I was young, like a Victor, when I lived in Woodbrook, he would take me, my dad brought me here when I was 10 years old. My dad's on the front row. My dad brought me here when I was 10 years old. And the first person I ever met at church was Tina Shear. Her name wasn't Tina Shear. It was Tina Kickbutt Kreger. And she didn't play games at, you know, 12 and a half, 13. I was 10. And my brother tried to, not Chad, but the middle cocky one, he's up in heaven. But he tried to tell Tina what for, and Tina told him the what for. And Kreger special. But it was because of people like Victor and people like the Snellers and people that would bring me the Guyanans and other people. I could talk about many of you in here that brought me as a young person to church and helped me and got me to join the military, got me to graduate, got me into the kingdom of God and helped me in ministry and helped me fulfill the call of God. You're not too young and you're not too old. What is God calling you to do? He's called us to do something great in this community, in your church, in your family. And now is the time. You know, you hear about Rick Renner and the things he preached on Thursday or Wednesday and all these different kind of things. Now is the time to stand up and do what God has called you to do. You know, we can try to figure out, well, when is he going to tell us something? It's not, you know, the great omission. It's the great commission. That means in operation with the Holy Ghost, in operation with the Word of God, in operation with all these people that gave gifts. It takes money to spread the gospel. Well, you're like, what? How does it really? I mean, you can go to work and tell people about Jesus. That's good. But it takes resources in the kingdom of God to have the body of Christ, to have the church, to have these kind of things. And there's people in here right now that you're standing strong and you're believing for something. And I'm coming in agreement with you today that we're going to see a harvest. We're going to see these pulpits filled. You know, a third of this world is young people. A third. There's almost 8 billion young people or 8 billion people in the world. Now a third of them are young people. That's 18, 19 and under. If you look at the statistics, there's like three different places you can look. I mean, it's varied, obviously. But even in our own country, you see what's going on. There's, you know, anywhere 43 to 50 million young people. There's 100,000 in Pierce County at 100 middle schools and high schools in Pierce County. Young people waiting for someone to share the gospel. I got to walk by the kids' church. They were praying that today is the day of salvation for the children's ministry. They were praying. They were praying. You know, they want to see children and youth change and touch and set free. And that's really, if you have grandkids or people slipping away, keep speaking the word of God. Keep declaring the word of God. Keep bringing life and speaking life. Your word doesn't come back empty or void. It's going to accomplish everything it's set out to be. And you're like, well, Ted, it hasn't happened. I call her AC, Kathy Wilson, but she's my aunt because that's how it is. And, like many people here, but she was one of the ones that helped. And, you know, I asked her some different questions about, you know, I didn't really get into it too much with her, but about, you know, how do you see, she doesn't see, but how does she walk through some of those challenges in life? She said, God's good no matter what. You know, and that's the thing is like, what are you battling right now? What's the big deal? Really, what's the big deal? What is your big deal? Do you have a big deal? Thanks, Ida. If you have a big deal, Kenny, all you got to do is say, Jesus, help me. Amen. Jesus, help me. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I hear the voice of the Lord. Today is the day I'm led by the Spirit of God as a son of God. Today is the day I open up the word and it reveals the truth. And I'm changed and set free and delivered. You know, I ran last night. So I worked all day for some friends. Then I worked all day in my yard. It was like an all day landscaping project. I'm like, Jesus, help me all. And Wesley was sleeping in the truck, so after I got done working for some friends, I went and worked in my yard. Then after I ate Mod Pizza, where it was cauliflower crust, I went and ran 5K at Chambers Bay. And I had my PR, which is your personal record, with some Mod Pizza and like 10 hours of landscaping. I'm like, yeah, baby! You know, but I'm praying and asking the Lord. And I heard a song came on, it was Rescue by Lauren Daigle, and I'm like, man, you know, she's like, rescue me and go rescue those. And that kind of a little bit of an introduction is probably kind of long at this point. But we have a ministry called Impact Your World, and we encourage, equip, and empower youth pastors. And a lot of people sometimes, I think even some of my closest friends wonder, Jeremy, I probably every couple weeks I speak with him. Adam Hershey every week. John Shear is pretty much a big sounding board. And even him, sometimes he's like, Ted, what is your focus? You know, that's always been his thing. Is like, you know, focus your focus. I think Joey said that, but I think John at some point. But really what we're endeavoring to do is serve in our local community, our local church, in some form of nonprofit and church in the future. Obviously, you have to have money to live. We're nationally training youth pastors. That is a little bit of a challenge sometimes. You see, I was in Ohio and Indiana just a couple weeks ago. I got to speak to youth pastors and youth leaders. We had 450 at camp, so there was about 22 churches. So I got to speak to about 75 youth pastors, youth leaders. This lady on the right, she's a pastor, and she's a youth pastor as well. And this couple on the left, they're youth pastors. And I was speaking to them about 10 most important things in youth ministry and just speak the word. And the Holy Ghost moved in a short time. It only took a second. We preached and taught them for 45 minutes and 15 minutes just to allow the Holy Spirit to touch them and pray for them. And so I appreciate your help. So what we want to do is locally serve in our local community, nationally and locally training youth pastors internationally with mission trips. That's kind of the brief of it if you want to get more information about what we do. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is unconventional. That's the title of my message, is unconventional. Felt like I wanted to encourage you just a little bit this morning. Did you find any rope? I'm not going to get hung or anything. I hope so. All right. I guess if Pastor doesn't like me, he'll pull me down. We'll see more about that in a little bit. But we live in Lakewood, thank the Lord. We live right across the street from Reverend Lonnie, another one of my great mentors and pastors. And that was a really blessing. I moved back to my hometown. Autumn was from Lacey, and so she was like, Lakewood? But praise the Lord. Lacey's pretty nice. But we're living here and serving here and thankful to be here. And there's a lot more we could probably tell you about, like ongoing stuff, but we're trying to see, like, what's the Lord have for us. What I want to do is read a scripture of for this morning. It's James 1:22, and then we're going to pray. Amen. I believe this morning you'll be encouraged, equipped, and empowered, and the Lord's going to speak some stuff and challenge you this morning. Let's look and see here. It says, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just speak to every youth, every adult, every single person, that they're not too old, that they're not too young. I think that we're not deceived, but our eyes are open, our hearts are receptive and ready to hear the word of God, to go and do something, to be charged and challenged and equipped to do what you've called us to do. That it's not just the great omission, but the great commission. That it's unconventional, that we live our life in such a way to serve you always. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, I want to introduce a friend of mine as they prep up this video. His name's Jarrell. He's a great friend of mine. I met him, actually. Pastor Jan sent me in autumn in January 2010 down to Dallas at a youth pastors conference. And we had an awesome time, met some amazing people. And this is one of my friends that I met recently when I was in Florida as a youth pastor and a pastor. We had him come in a couple different times. He does rap, word of knowledge, worship pastor, a lot of different things. We spoke to thousands of students, seen over probably 700 students get saved while we were doing some of these outreaches and stuff. We're in a small community, but I hope they can get that video up for you. It's called I'm a Missionary. It's just a short spoken word. I just thought it was a great just kind of launch off in unconventional. And then I'm going to just sit down for a second.
I am a missionary. And to be honest, sometimes that phrase scares me. It scares me because I have this picture in my head of what a missionary should be. I think of locusts and wild honey. I think of distant lands. I think of these crazy stories about facing off with witch doctors. I think of the struggle and lack of money. I think of someone telling me, don't tell God that you're not going to go to Africa, because guess what? He's going to send you to Africa and you better like it. But what if I took my focus off of what I thought it was and put it on who Christ is? Christ, the missionary, who came to our distant land, found my remote village, and loved me. Christ, the missionary, whose life is an example that challenges me to leave my comfort zone, to get down to earth, to remain spotless from the world while keeping my hands in the dirt, doing kingdom work. Not concerned with the traditions of men, he showed me how to be the church, blessing everyone I come into contact with and giving even when it hurts. And shouldn't I do that? Isn't Jesus worth it? My life is not my own. I have been purchased. Isn't this worship? Will people from every nation, tribe, and tongue come together and sing, worthy is the Lamb as he receives the reward of his suffering. The truth is that when Jesus said go, he was talking to me. So whether he sends me across the street, across town, or across the sea, I will join him on his journey, because I finally see that the body of Christ is a
I'm a missionary. We're talking about unconventional. Might have the definition for you. It says, not based on or conforming to what is generally done or believed. Today I want to challenge and charge you to be unconventional, that you are a missionary, that you're a sent one, that you're a Christian. You're a doer of the word of God. You're not deceived. You're not beat down by the things of this world. You're not allowing the flesh to take over your life, but you're allowing the spirit to take over your heart and thus doing what God has called you to do. Unconventional. The first part of that is you have to step out in faith. You have to choose to say, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to walk out. I think Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, you know, I think it's the first one or the second one. I was going to get the little video clip, and you know, he's like the older movie, you know, he's like most everybody's seen the Indiana Jones, you know, and he comes to the edge. He's like, wah! And he's like, what do we do? What do we do? You know, he's always really ingenious, but he's like, gets a little bit of dirt and slaps it out there. And he's like, oh, there's a bridge across the great ravine. And he takes a little step. Yeah. You know, and that's really what God is asking you to do is take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. What is it you're waiting on? He's given us everything, every tool. He's given you gifts. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He gives you the word of God. If you need a word, open up the word. I mean, really, right now, all we got to do is we could go anywhere. John Shear has a Bible. We could just praise the Lord. The people confess their sins. Nehemiah 9. I mean, all you got to do is open up a word. If you need a word, I'm wondering why I always get a prophetic word. Did I not hear enough of the word? You know, somebody always giving me. I remember Victor giving me a word up in the office forever ago. It was 1 Corinthians 15:10. Is like, the word won't lack in your life. You know, and I remember that. I speak that almost daily, if not every other day. These four things that I remember about the word of God because someone spoke them over my life. But you have to take a step of faith. What does it say in Hebrews? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But are you willing to take a step of faith? You know, and it doesn't, you know, that's what sometimes I try to figure out, like, well, am I a missionary? I'm a missionary when I'm working landscaping. I'm a missionary when I'm doing a missionary work. I'm a missionary at Washington High School, or I'm a missionary when Daniel and I and many other leaders were campus life directors at Keith Lee Middle School. You know, I'm a missionary. Whatever I'm doing, I'm a missionary. But see, it's unconventional. You got to get it out of the box of what you think a missionary is. You go to high school, you're a missionary. You get online, students, you're a missionary. You, wherever you go, in youth service, in church, in the streets, if you're doing arts or music or a businessman, you're a missionary. It doesn't mean you got to go and, I don't know whose arm I can twist, maybe Jimmy's. You know, I'm not, you know, twisting someone's arm to preach the gospel and throw down, this is what the word of God says and you must do it. No, I'm just loving and caring for people, being a missionary. And allowing them to see my actions and to see my life and see my heart and see what I do. That's why James 1:22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Do what it says. Most of the word of God is doing. You can wait all day like, what do you want me to do, Lord? That's why I said there's something for you today. To be unconventional, to step out of what's ordinary into the extraordinary. So go and do and be who God has called you to be. It says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't please God. We want to please God. God already loves us and cares for us. But if you want to take another step and do something else, you're going to have to like step out in faith, what you don't see. You know, I think I see a lot of different people, you know, with the white canes like AC, and she's literally taking a step in faith. Where's that white cane at? Let me see that thing. I got it. My grandpa was blind, and so we helped him a lot. And I see some people, they're like all the way blind, like they're not seeing, and they're literally like taking a step of faith everywhere they go all the time. I seen this guy literally like walk across the street on 56 and Cirque and Lakewood or Orchard. It's like four roads. But he literally like was bouncing off of stuff, AC. Like, I mean, he was moving. And you knew he couldn't see. Like, he was moving how he couldn't see. He was, like, hitting stuff, and then he'd just go. And I'm like, whoa, that's a step of faith. That's the challenge with where we're at, is we say we're too old, we can't change, we're too young, they don't understand, whatever it may be. But you got to base your life on the Word of God in faith. You can't base it on your own feelings, what your own thoughts, maybe the way you were or weren't grown up or raised up. You have to base. That's so often we're like, it is tough to change. I just moved twice. I throw all that junk out the window. I'm like, here you go. Sorry, there you go. All right, let me. I'm glad she's not beating me with it. Here you go, right in front of you. But, you know, it's tough because we say it's tough. It doesn't have to be tough. It doesn't have to be. Will it be challenging? Are you charged with the gospel? Yeah, because they live every day. But look like what Sarah said. Look at the benefits. Look at the mountains move. Look at the life of your own life changed. Look what he's done in your life. And maybe you don't know Jesus. You know, maybe you haven't come to know him. But today I believe that you would. But even if you have known Jesus, look at what he's done in your life and in your heart. Look at all the mountains he has moved. Look at the places he sent you. I think of so many times, how many times God has been so good. He uses people, and a lot of times in this church, for me anyway, but a lot of people all over. You know, we went on a trip to Haiti, I think I did 2 years ago, and I'm like, it wasn't really a lot of money, but it was just, you know, it wasn't kind of trickling in, and I'm like, man. You know, but so often, it just kept coming, and Pastor Laura and Darren, the pastors in Florida, they're like, man, you're getting money from like Idaho, Colorado, Washington, Florida, North Carolina, Vermont. She's like, how many people do you know? You know, it'd be 20 here, 50 there, 100 there. And God just does amazing stuff. Like, he's always taking care of you. But if I never said, I'm going to go and take a step, I remember Pastor saying in January 2010, and then shortly after, I got a 2-hour discussion with Pastor Shear in 2010 in this very church. And I just listened for 2 hours. That was fun. the John Shear special, he wasn't having that idea. But Pastor Jan, I don't think he was real excited when we went to Rhema, the mission school either. But he said, if you don't do it, you won't know. And you know, a lot of times for even us, if we don't take the step, we won't know. What are you willing to see happen? I'm talking not just in your own life. Like, I want to do better. I want to have a nice car. That's all great. I mean, I'm going to get up to Reggie status shortly. How that car, it like shakes out there. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, dang, man, it's like Yogi Berra. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like, dude, that car is awesome. You know, it's great to have stuff, but the gospel, the good news. That's why we come to church, because we heard the good news. We got the gospel. We have faith. We take a step of faith that we're going to see somebody change their life. Amen. So without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. Our next one is take a step out into the water. I had like kind of a short, I had a long scripture, Matthew 14, 22 through 31. But it says, come in a short version. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. These few things that I'm sharing with you, the Lord spoke them to me. Like, he said, you're unconventional. It's a life of unconventional. Take a step of faith. Take a step out in the water. I'm like, man, Lord, I thought I was already doing that. This was just recent. And I'm like, you know, take a step out into the water. You know, are we willing, when Jesus says, come, are you willing to take a step? Are you willing to live unconventional? Are you willing to give like Dino and Pastor Cook and others were exhorting you to give with? Well, recently I went to go serve in a children's ministry down in Olympia, except it was my kid and two worship pastor's kids, so there was really no kids. And, but it was cool because they still gave us money for serving and going down there. But, and this other guy that was he's a preacher, like a prophetic preacher type person. And one of my ministers in Florida met him in Oklahoma City, but he lives in Lacey. So, and then I seen him at this church. And we're kind of been becoming friends. And he says, you have a is the same thing. It's like you have a tight fist and the Lord wants you to open your hand. Like, what the chicken? And then he said, he's like, stop striving. Just allow Jesus to have a place in your life. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Reverend Victor's here, and, you know, he flows a lot in the prophetic, but I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if you keep getting words, does it mean you don't hear from him or you don't spend enough time with him or what? I'm like, I thought I was doing pretty good, but I like what Jesus says, or I like what the Word of God says. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. Immediately, and he says later on, come. And there's so much in it. There's take courage, it's me. And then later on, you know, a lot of times we give him a hard time, like, he fell into the water. But he took a step. He stepped out. Are anybody out here taking the steps? No. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's funny. It's like, even with, like, Doubting Thomas. Like, they name him Doubting Thomas. Like, were you with Jesus? You know, it's funny how we have, like, the negative connotations to the people in the Bible. Look at all the bad stuff they did. Look at all the bad stuff you did, but don't tell nobody. You know? Thank you. We have a new and better covenant. We have the Gospels. We have the New Testament. We have the Holy Spirit. We're a Holy Ghost church. We have the Gospel and the life and the blood of Christ. We have so much. Why not take a step into the water? Why not see your life change? Why not live a life of unconventionalism? You know, where you're not just, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. That's great. But remember what's unconventional. Not based on or conforming to what is generally done or believed. That's the life that people are living. You tell them this is, you know, what I think was Pastor Cook, one of them said, this is right or this is wrong. The Word of God is right. You know, and we could disagree, you know, people, you know, there's Baptists and Presbyterians and stuff. I mean, under the tenets, under, you know, Christian, thank you, under the Christian umbrella, Jesus is first. You know, I mean, and then we can argue about tongues and we can do all this, and obviously, but for us in our church and me, what I can do, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to see the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen. I mean, if you don't want to do it, that's cool, but I'm going to believe in it. I'm going to walk in it. You know, one time, I think it was Dan and I, we were doing landscaping, and some Mormons came up, and I was like, you want to pray? You guys pray, and we'll pray. We'll see what happens. Remember, Dan? We're in, like, some bank parking lot, and I'm like, de carabocita, in Jesus' name. I was like, maybe I was just loud, and they thought it was Jesus, but they're like, wow, that's a lot of praying. And, but I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, it's not trying to be like anybody else. You know, I'm not trying to be like, you know, Pastor Jan or Rick Renner, or I'm trying to be me. You know, I'm not looking around, and we got to stop comparing ourselves. You know, I mean, if Bear or Sarah's like, well, I want to be like my mom, and she has amazing attributes, but it's not just to be like somebody else. It's to be who God called you to be. Not just to do what everybody else is doing, not just to follow the systems of this world, but follow the system of the Word of God and reap and sow and see the gospel change people's lives. You know, I even see, Reggie, that you, through your car club and the gospel and being rooted and grounded, you could see guys come to the Lord. You could go to Lakewood Barbershop like I did, and you could see guys come to Christ because of who you are. And that's all of us. Everywhere you go, I usually go to He's Best Fades on Pacific, Anya and myself, and she does a really good job, but I wanted to go check out these fellows over at the Lakewood Barbershop, and so they gave me a pretty tight fade, and so, but I love the Koreans don't mess around, and they can pray. That lady over there, He's Best Fade, you want to pray? She go to a church that prays. She don't mess around. I remember you. She said, you a pastor over that church. I was like, no, I just serve over there. She was awesome. Oh. The third one, the waves are waiting. You're like, what in the heck is the waves are waiting? So you see these waves that There's people literally waiting for you, Reggie, at the Lakewood Barbershop. There's people, young people, at your high school that you're about to go to, Austin. They're waiting for you. Goldsmith, the football players are waiting for you to shine your light and do what God has called you to do. They're waiting for you. They're in turmoil, and the waves are smashing them, and life is overtaking people all the time. The waves are waiting for you. And I didn't know. I'm like, what in the heck is the waves are waiting? This is what the Lord told me. I'm like, what's a wave waiting? I'm going to go surfing. You know, I'm like, I do like Hawaii. I want to go there, but I lost two wedding rings there, so I don't know about the third one. No, true story. The second day we were married, the second day in the water, we're snorkeling out there, in Kauai, and it was beautiful. We just got married. And then the ring that Autumn bought and had engraved and was like super special, I just watched it fade away into the abyss. Good thing my life and my marriage hasn't faded away. So the second time we go there, I do a wedding. Second day, second time in the water, I'm surfing. The waves were waiting for my ring. I should have known better the second time. And I'm like, well, I guess that's why they go out there and go, and they find all your jewelry. So this is my third ring, but still my first wife. Praise the Lord. 21 years. I'm still putting up with Autumn. Just kidding. She's looking very beautiful. Mackenzie took her shopping. Well, I mean, I think we paid, but like she picked out the clothes. So the waves are waiting. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Be the light. The waves are waiting. People are waiting for you everywhere you go. They're waiting. Not just for you to be a jerk. Oh, bless God, I'm a Christian. I got the Holy Spirit. What do you want to do about it? You know, Trump 2020. You know, like that's going to get you saved. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, whatever you are, that's good. Be you. But you know what? Jesus is here to deliver everybody. You know, it's not, all that could maybe help your country. But I think about all the countries around the world where it's not based on your politics. It's not based on your skin color. It's not based on how much money you have. Not based on what language you speak. Not based on anything but knowing Jesus and living for Jesus. You know, and that's where we have to get back to loving and caring. You know, in your actions at work. Bless the Lord. Maybe some of you. You know, like, oh man, it's that Christian again. You know, the waves are waiting for you to be an honest, loving, caring person. Like to actually walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Like, probably like I was driving last night. I needed to do a little better. You know, the young person was next to me, but my car was a little nicer and faster. But they were like, rum, rum. I'm like, rum, rum. But hey, you know, the waves are waiting. If I was in Reggie's car, we would just smoked rubber all night. The waves are waiting. You know, if we turned out all the lights and put my phone light on, the light is always going to be brighter than the darkness, no matter what. I mean, we could shut everything off, but you're going to still see some light because there's a little emergency exit light, which bless the Lord for I call him MP, Maintenance Pastor Jerry. I was a facilities manager for 2 years at the church I just came from. And that's why I quit. So I told Pastor Darren, I says, I am an extrovert, and the exit signs, when they talk to me, I smash them. So I'm like, we're not no more of that. No, I was associate pastor and teaching at the school, but I had a lot of responsibilities with the facility. So I know what I call Maintenance Pastor Jerry, but it's a lot of work to take care of places. So thank you for all those that come to serve and to help. It means a lot when you volunteer and serve at the church. And it's difficult. I mean, it is really difficult to take it. And it's easy just to be like, and I'm a landscaper. So every time I come in, I'm like, oh, the bushes or wow, that's amazing. You know, all these things. So, I mean, if you want to complain, lend a phone call and say, hey, I'm here to help, or lend some cash so they can pay somebody, you know. So it's easy to be a complainer. You know, I guess we're talking about the light, you know, and Pastor Jan, he taught us a lot of things, Autumn and I, when we got here in 99, and was where I remember when he was saying that. I came in, and Carol gives me a hard time more than anybody, but it's like, what do you guys do around here at church? And that was pretty much a bad joke for a long time because I shouldn't have said that, because there's always a bazillion things to do. And Pastor Jan, you know, when you have challenges with people, he's like, just let it be water off a duck's back. And you have to have thick skin, and just taught us a lot about serving in the ministry. As a Christian, taught us a lot. Like, focus on the Word and pray in the Spirit. That's, you know, 99% of your problem, you know. I mean, you don't focus on the Word and pray, then what good is it? You know, because we can complain and murmur, but you're not going to be the light that way. You're just going to be a dark bomb in the abyss, doing nothing, just complaining. Number four is the storm needs you. It says in Jude, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And that's a lot more for Pastor Jan to teach you on later. But I like, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. I think I had a picture up there about a storm. And the storm, it needs you. So the waves are waiting, but the storm needs you. Everywhere you go, there's a storm happening and brewing. Look at our country. Look at all, I mean, Malachi and Gabriel are going across the country trying to dig water wells in places that people don't have water. And they were pretty much unsuccessful because of the drilling machine, but they did a lot of other stuff. But everywhere there's a challenge, and you go, the storm is so big, what are you going to do? But do something. It's like the story of the starfish. It's like, there's a bazillion starfish on the shore. What am I going to do? Well, start with one. You know, I drove by, I was on Stillican Boulevard, and there was a homeless guy, and I was like, I should have asked him to come to church and got in my truck and brought him here. I mean, you know, it's like someone walked in our church a few weeks ago, and who, I don't know who it was like, go see Pastor Ted. It was a homeless, or it was a person that needed food and money. I'm like, I need food and money. You know, I'm going to go over to Shear's house, or I'm going to text Dino for $20. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I'm going to go somewhere, eat your dog. I don't know what, but I don't know what's going to happen. But they came in, and they're coming over, and who was helping me with that? So one of the ushers. Who was it? Adam went with me, but another usher gave me 20, and I had 20. I'm like, so I went with them during the service, because they come in like, hey, I got Jesus. I'm hungry, and I don't have no gas. Like, God bless you on your way. So I'm like, I gave him, and I was able to minister to him, but I went and got him gas with my card, $20, and was able to minister to him. And then we went over to Jack in the Box, got him $20 of food with the gift card, you know, and because I don't want to give him cash. But we were able to minister the gospel. You know, a lot of times people are coming, and they're like, what are you doing for me? You know, what am I going to do? Just send them on your way, like, see you later. The storm needs you. Everywhere you go, there's a challenge, and people need your help. They need your love. They need your care. They need your guidance. They need your discipleship. They need the gospel, the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. They need everything that you have, the love and compassion, caring, you know, and that's what you're created for, to give the life of Christ away. It says in Proverbs 24:11, rescue those being led away to death. Is Caitlin or Katie, can you come up, please? Or I didn't know if it's, is that okay? Come on. She's like, what? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. Yes, please. Thank you very much. She's like, well, what am I going to do? You're going to preach. Maybe soon. And the last part is exercise your faith. So, an unconventional life, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the Word of God and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Do what the Word of God says. If you made a mistake, praise the Lord. Say, here I am, Jesus, I'm ready to change. You know, you have to take you don't have to. You can choose to take a step of faith. You can choose to step out in the water because he's like, come. But the waves are waiting. The storm needs you. And, you know, it's an opportunity right now to exercise your faith. And those are the five things that the Lord spoke to me. And he's really challenged me with it. And I want to challenge you and charge you to this morning with the gospel, with being unconventional, with changing your life and maybe getting a different perspective, maybe having a little more joy, maybe walking in the gifts of the Spirit more, maybe having more love. I don't know what it is that you need of, but the Lord knows today. And I have this little, take it easy. You know what? The craziest thing is, it's like I lost my favorite running watch. I don't know if it was when I moved. And then I had the really nice pocket knife like this. And I did the same thing. I loaned it to somebody for a minute. But the minute later, I never got it back. This is his. But, you know, a lot of times, I guess we go to the next point. Exercise your faith. But we got to get out of the harbor. And I think I got a little picture there. A ship in a harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are made for. A harbor is a place on the coast where vessels may find shelter, especially one protected from rough waters by piers, jetties, and other artificial structures. I mean, there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about the church is the harbor. But I feel like a lot of times this is a safe place. We get filled up. We are received the gospel. We are able to connect with each other, love each other, care for each other, pray for each other, be discipled, or disciple others, have accountability, have the word of God taught into us, go to Sunday school, Bible school, whatever it is. But you know what? A ship in a harbor is not safe. And we are tied a lot of times. We're just tied. We're like, we're here. Oh man, you know, how are you going to exercise your faith? How are you going to take a step of faith? How are you going to go out into the water? How are you going to help the storm that needs help? The waves are waiting, but I'm stuck in the harbor. You know, this is about as far as I can go. I can't go anymore. You know, a Christian's not meant just to stay here and know Jesus. That's great. We have to be here. We have to know more and do more and hear more. But hearing upon hearing upon hearing upon the word, upon the glory, upon changing and being changed. But you know what? It starts, we got to get out of these doors. You know, it's bad enough that Christians, we can't even get along with each other. I mean, different denominations, different people, different, you know, just don't go on social media and be an idiot. Like, that would help a lot right now. I mean, that'd be a good start. You know, just love people. Don't, you know, it's going to help me nothing to twist Jimmy's arm to tell him that Jesus loves him. But showing and caring and actually loving, well, he loves me, but I like it really too when you bring me coffee. But it's not, we're not safe. So what I just, why don't you stand up with me as we close up? But I'm just cutting this and I think it's really sharp. Thank you. So I want you to focus on just the word of God. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word of God and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. That we have opportunity to exercise our faith. That we have opportunity to step out in faith, to step out into the water, that the waves are waiting, the storm needs us. It's not just made, you know, I mean, if you're going to go to Mongolia, go to the school district, go to your workplace, wherever you go, whatever you do, do what God has called you to do. Get the vision and the word of God, submit to your leaders and authority and go and do it. You know, it's easy just to complain and give an excuse, but that's what it is, just an excuse. You know, if you want to be a part of something, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. I don't know what to tell you, but it's up to us to have the good heart and a good attitude, and that's not always easy. Ask yourself. It's not, because you know, just like me. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you." He's with you. He's with you right now. He's with you when you go. He's with you when you come. He's with you. All you got to do is just call in the name of Jesus. All you have to do is just ask him. All you have to do is be led by him. You know, and stop having the clenched hand and have the open hand. It comes back to us and our choice, because he doesn't make us do anything. Unconventional. Step out in faith. Take a step into the water. The waves are waiting. The storm needs you. Exercise your faith. I just want to pray for some of you or all of you, but to be unconventional, that we need faith, that we need to take a step of faith. And I'm talking to all of us, me included, because maybe the things we've been doing is not what we need to do. You know, and maybe everything's great with your spiritual walk, but I'm trying to stir you beyond that, you know, beyond just your normal day to day, beyond what you've always done or what you've always had or where you've always been. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but the storm needs you. Someone needs your love. Someone needs the gospel, the good news everywhere you go. It's not hard to do. Just, I mean, yeah, we get fast in a hurry, but at Safeway or wherever it is, just Karen, yesterday I seen a lady and she had a, I don't know if she was special needs, but her daughter was, you know, younger in a not a wheelchair, but it's some kind of chair. She sneezed and so much snot, but she didn't have anything. And so I, you know, the worker gave her some Kleenex, or sorry, some toilet, or some paper towels, which isn't that great for a kid. So I went and bought some Kleenex and just brought it over to her. I didn't really have a lot of extra time, and Safeway line was forever. But I just went a little extra just to care. That's it. You almost probably would have about to cry, but I was just trying to get out. I was like, bless you. I didn't really say nothing more. I just, something simple, but we need to take a step in the water. Someone's waiting on you and the storm needs you. Someone's waiting for you. And that's kind of crazy to believe, because how am I going to help myself? How am I going to help someone else? And I can't even help myself. This is what I tell Autumn a lot. And she's like, well, if you help others, you'll be helped. It's, you know, planting, watering, reaping and sowing. But it's challenging, because you're like, if I get my whole life right, I can help somebody else. But when is your life going to be completely right? When you get to heaven, ain't one of us perfect, ain't one of us completely right. But you know what? Who is right is the person that lives on the inside of us and the Word of God. I like what Wayne Gretzky says, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. If you're not willing, and we could look at Bible scriptures and leadership people and all those kind of things, and we could tell you quote after quote after quote, but the bottom line is to follow the Word of God. And really, I'm trying to encourage you unconventionally in faith. And just as we close up, if you haven't had an opportunity to know Jesus, I like what my good friend Pastor Chris Musgrove says with Future Now. He's like, if you're going into a battle, which we've got a lot of military people, you want to know who's on your team, right? Like, I want to link, there's many of you retired or in the military or work on the base. You want to know who's on your team? You know, there's many people as Christians, they're on your team right now. But if you don't know Christ, and sometimes we say, you know, close your eyes and bow your heads. But I'm saying, keep your eyes open and your heads up. And if you want to be a part of the team and you want to join the gospel and know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and have your life radically changed, and not going to be easy. But if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to challenge you and to open up the gospels and the altar to you. If you don't know Jesus today and you say, Ted, I want to know him. I want to have some of that love and that compassion. And I want to be forgiven and set free. Would you just raise your hand right now? As you have a lot of people around you that love you and care about you, maybe you've been struggling with it. You're like, I don't know. You know, I want to know Jesus, but I haven't really had the opportunity yet. I haven't made the opportunity. If you don't, would you just raise your hand if that's you? I want to just pray with you and encourage you and help you on your journey. And secondly, if you just want to come back to Jesus, maybe it's just been challenging. And thirdly, if you're out there and one of those five things, you're like, Ted, I need that faith, you know, or help me to reach that storm or those waves that are waiting, you know, and I believe, you know, everybody could stand up here. I mean, I'm standing in with myself because I need it too. So I'm not necessarily asking you to come down, but I would believe that. And the last thing is just to be unconventional. Don't just be on how you always been and do what you always did and go along your own way. Do the Jesus way. His way is unconventional. When you're taking five crackers and two sardines or, you know, five loaves and two fish. See, that's the crazy thing about Jesus. He was unconventional. He went to the hurting, the sick, the worthless of the times. He went to those, and doesn't mean, you know, obviously people that don't know Jesus in general, they all need it. But he went everywhere and did all kinds of things, and he was unconventional. So I just want to pray with you. If you do need specific prayer for something, I'd love for you to come down. But Father, I just thank you for an opportunity to speak your word. Thank you that we would be unconventional, that Jesus was unconventional, that James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word of God and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. I think we would do the word of God, that those that need to know Jesus would come to Jesus, that those that are asking, Lord, help me to cut the rope and get out of the harbor and go and set sail and do what Christ has called you to do, to be a vessel, to be a light, to be a city on a hill, to go and share the love of Christ. That's what we're meant to do, that these pews would be full of young people and old people and all races and walks of life, that our parking lot would be full. Not just because we want to be a big church, but because we're a beacon of hope and light and transformation power of the Holy Ghost, that we are a Holy Ghost church. We're filled with the gospel of truth. I thank you for every life, every heart in here, that they would be still to and quick to listen. If you're challenging them with things in their life right now, just speak to them, touch them. In Jesus' name, we just thank you and praise you. Amen.